on God and God alone. Worship says, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being holy, loving, merciful, saving, powerful. When we first come to Christ for salvation, we do so through prayer. When he saves us, we're thankful and we praise him for all he's done for us. And as we grow with him, we learn to commune with him and we learn to truly worship him. In Song of Solomon, there's a woman that said that this in regards to the Lord, he is the chiefest among 10,000. And we proclaim that he is altogether lovely. A hymn has these words. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus is my Lord. There's a story of a young woman who was in her home who was burning down. She was on the top floor, hanging out, trying to get breath, waiting for help. There was a young man that was a firefighter, one of his first days on the job, rescued this lady. Because of all the excitement of the day, this lady was unable to thank him. She found out his name and his address. She went and she visited him and she thanked him. They developed a friendship, and over a course of 5 years, they end up getting married. Now, what a story of a person that was her savior, but not only her savior, became her friend. And not only her friend, became one who she loved and she adored. What a picture in our lives with the Lord Jesus Christ. One who saved us from the fire. The one who gave us hope. And the one who we should have a friendship with. The one who we should commune with. The one that we should love and adore. What is worship? Worship is coming to a place that we focus on God and God alone, and every moment, every day of our lives, we love and adore him and him alone. You see, we don't have to just come to church to worship God. We come to church for other reasons, but we can worship God. And we should be worshiping God every moment of our lives. Because I ought to love and adore him. Now there is things as private worship and corporate worship and all that. But we ought to be worshiping God each and every moment of our lives. In this portion of scripture we're going to read in a moment in Deuteronomy Chapter 26, verse 1 through verse 11. This is instituting the feast of the first fruits. And this is the feast, and this is given where they would take, as they went into the new land, and they would harvest and get the fruits. They would take of the first of the fruits, and they would give that to the Lord. They would sacrifice that and give it to the Lord. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, we're going to see individuals who truly knew what it meant and the instructions given, how a person is to come to God or how a person is to worship God. Many times in our lives, we come to God not in the right way. We have a service, but we do not worship God. We have devotions, but we do not worship God. We pray, but we do not worship God. in this portion of Scripture is going to give us what biblical worship or the biblical way we are to approach God and love and adore Him. If you're able to, please stand with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 11. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance, and possessed it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, Assyrian, ready to perish, was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our afflictions, and our labor, and our oppressions. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, we ask as we look at your word that you would truly speak to our hearts, I pray, in a mighty and powerful way. Lord, that we would see what you have for us, that we'll take it. And Lord, help us to truly learn to worship you as we ought. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Look at verse number 1 with me. I want us to first see the worshiper's appreciation. The worshiper's appreciation. Look at verse 1. And it shall be, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance, and possesses it, and dwells therein. As they're starting this off, how to approach God, and how to worship God, and how this whole idea of this first fruits and everything come to mind, he reminds them of their appreciation for what? Their appreciation that God did something. God gave them the land. God gave them the land that they're now possessing. God gave them the land that they're now at. God gave them the land where they're now able to have this fruit and have this harvest and have these things. Has to be an appreciation for what God has done. The worshiper's appreciation for their restoration. He gave them land. He gave them something they did not have. I want you and me to think for a moment. As we get this idea of love and adoration for our God, remember what God has given you. Remember, you have something you don't deserve. I have something I don't deserve. Remember, there's something He's given us. He's given us this possession of salvation. But not only this possession of salvation, He has given us all the things that we have in our lives. You see, as we come to God and worship Him, both in spirit and truth, and we come before Him, and we have a love and adoration for Him, we have to remember all we have because of Him. Because without Him, you and I truly don't have anything. And we got to get to that place in our lives that we don't just say that with our lips, but we believe that with our minds and with our hearts, that we don't have anything apart from Christ. He gave us everything. And what they're saying here is, hey, we have this land because God gave us this land. You couldn't have what you have if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have your salvation if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have all the things that you have today if it wasn't for God. God is the one that gave you what you have. Look at verse 5, verse 8. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, is Sarah ready to perish with my father? And he went down in Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord, God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our afflictions and our labor and our oppressions. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. As they appreciate, they see the restoration, but they also see the redemption. They see the redemption. They said, "Why? Look at this. God has given us all this land. God has given us things, but look at what God took us from. Look what God took us from. Not only what he gave us, but what he took us from. He took us from the bondage, the hard bondage of Egypt. He took us from the slavery and all the things we were facing. God took us from there." As we have the worshiper's appreciation, remember what he's given you, but also remember what he's taken you from. He's taken us from what we deserve. If you're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, we have to love and adore and worship him. And we're going to look at what that means in a little bit. But we're to love and adore and worship him because of what he's taken us from, because of what he's given us. And we have to realize what you and I truly deserve. Oh, we know this. Again, it's lip service. It's lip service. We know we deserve to spend eternity like a fire. We know we deserve all this and that. We know all this. We don't deserve anything. We all know about grace and mercy and all the things we are just easily say all the time in our life. But do we really take to heart the truth of what God's taken us from? Because if we did, I believe we would truly worship God the way that we should worship God. I believe every believer will learn to love and adore our Savior for what he's done for us. It becomes so trite in our minds and in our lives that Jesus paid it all, and because he paid it all, I have to thank him and I have to worship him. And we say that, but it becomes so trite that it becomes a duty instead of love. It becomes something we're just going through the motions instead of truly worshiping God, instead of truly coming before him and loving and adoring him. It becomes something that we try to produce, and because we don't have it naturally. You see, true worship is not something that has to be produced. True worship is something that is done in and through our lives because we love and adore God. And there's a day and age we're living in that people say worship is something far different than that. And they have to manufacture some type of worship. They have to change the music and they have to change this and change that to bring about worship. That's not worship. Worship is done in the heart. And when you're right with God and you love and adore God and he's the only focus you have upon life, that's when worship occurs. Worship does not occur because of emotion. But because of worship, emotions occur. And there's a big difference. We see the worship's appreciation for his redemption, for his restoration. And he hath brought us, verse 9, into this place. And hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. We also need to thank him for the reward. We also need to thank him for the reward. Now, think about it. Not only did God take him from somewhere, not only did God give him something, the land, and took him from Egypt, but God gave him milk and honey. Now, think about it in our lives for a moment. God took us from bondage. God gave us salvation and so much more. But what does God promise? One day, we'll leave this world and we'll be with Him for all of eternity. One day, we'll receive a reward. We'll be able to have crowns to cast back at the feet of Jesus. One day, we have so much. You know, we worship God, we love and adore Him because of what He's done, what He's given us, and what is to come. Oh, preacher, we all know we're going to heaven someday. We all know we're going to see Jesus face to face. We all know that one day if we're saved, we're going to be able to cast the crowns back at His feet. But I believe, again, we're missing it because I believe, again, we've become so familiar with it that it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. And we don't love and adore Him and worship Him as we should. It becomes something we're just going through. And we have to realize, hey, what He's done for us, He's given us so much, and He has something even better for us one day when we leave this world, because we get to be with Him for all of eternity. And that ought to be something you are looking and longing and waiting for, His return and to be with Him. And as I focus on God, I love and adore Him for all He's done for me, what He's given me, and what He's going to do for me. I also want us to see not only the appreciation, but I want us to see the approach. We have to realize all He's done for us, but we must come with the right attitude, the right approach as we come. Verse 2 through verse 4, I want you to see this. That thou shalt take of the first of all the fruits of the earth, which thou shalt bring forth, shall bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. We must approach God with an attitude of gratitude. And we must approach God and give Him what is His. You see, I learned to see all that God's done for me. But I also have to see how I need to approach God. What were they told to do? They were told to come before God, come before the priest, take the baskets, take these things, and give it to God. I want you to think about it in our lives for a moment. God's given us so much. We have all these things. We know we ought to worship Him and adore Him and love Him because of it. But what are we doing with what God has given us, the first fruits? How do we approach it? How do we approach Him? We do this. We come to church. And again, we can worship God, and we should be worship God, not just in church, but an example. We come to church, and we should be worshiping God this morning. But a lot of people understand all that God's done. But as they approach church, and they approach this time, it's nothing to them. Oh, preacher, I love God, I adore God. No, well, let's look at this for a moment. Because every aspect of the service, we ought to be worshiping God, loving and adoring God, and worshiping Him. Now, I understand there's time to talk, and I understand fellowship, and I understand that's good and those things. But what happens when we gather to get ready for a service? And we're getting gathered ready to hear from God and to hear those things. Let me ask you, is your focus on God during a service? Because if our focus is on God during a service, we're not loving and adoring Him, and we're not worshiping him. You see, if I come to a service and I'm sitting there and I'm mouthing the words to a psalm, but my head and my mind is somewhere else, I'm not loving and adoring and worshiping God. It's not happening. I'm not giving him the first fruits. I'm not giving him what is his. I don't have the right attitude. You see, that first fruits, the whole idea is I'm giving him the best. I'm giving him the cream of the crop. I'm giving him the very best that came. That's what I'm giving God. And that's what worship is. That's how we approach God, that we give him the very best. But we come and our minds are somewhere else during the song service. Now, I know some of you can't sing. That's okay. But you can at least try. You can at least try to mouth the words. Why? Because it's not the words. It's your focus. You see, the whole purpose of the Psalms is to focus our mind on who? On God. And yes, some people need to sing a little quieter than others so your mind can stay focused on God. I understand if you hear some a little loud that are off key. It kind of throws you off track a little bit. That's why I sing quiet. But my voice just still echoes through the building. I have that curse. But here's the thought. If you're going to worship God, you focus on God. And as you're singing the hymns, your mind ought to be on God. Love and adoring him. And that's okay if some tears come down your eyes while you're singing. Because what that tells me is, you're focusing on God. You're focusing on him. And you're loving and adoring him. I'm giving him the first fruits. I'm giving what is his. I'm giving the very best. See, every aspect of the service ought to be an aspect of worship. Because every minute of our life ought to be an aspect of worship. I ought to worship God through the Psalms. I ought to be worshiping God during prayer. Do you know you can pray and not be worshiping? You can pray and not be worshiping God. You can say all the right words, and you can sound good, but you're not worshiping God. The Bible talks about that many times in Scripture. But you know what happens in most churches? And I'm not going to say this church. But in most churches, you know what happens during prayer? Very few are really loving and adoring God during time of prayer. You know what they're doing? They're checking their phones now. Oh, preacher, none of us, whatever. Let's be real. And let me ask you, if you're doing that during the service, during prayer, are you really worshiping God, loving and adoring him? No, you're not. We're doing other things. We're passing notes. Well, preacher, we don't pass notes anymore. We just send texts. Yeah, I know. It's a lot easier because I'm using my phone for my Bible. So no one knows. But are we truly worshiping God? See, prayer ought to be a time of worship. It ought to be a time that you're focused on God. It ought to be a time where nothing else matters in life. It's just God. You're focused on him. And you're loving him and adoring him. How about during specials and offertory? Do you know those are supposed to be times of worship as well? Those are supposed to be times of worship. Why? Because every aspect of the service ought to prepare your heart for the preaching of the Word of God and ought to prepare you to a place where you're focused on God. The reason we had a special this morning was not to kill time in a service. A special sometimes does more than some other things in the service. Because it gives you the quietness as the song is being sung or the song being played. So what? You can focus on your life, your heart, but focus upon God and ask God to do a work in your life, and you love and adore Him, and you worship Him through song. As we're taking offering, that's a time of worship. It's a time of loving and adoring God several different ways. I'm going to give them to you. I know you wanted them. I'm going to give them to you. Several different ways. One is by giving to the first fruits. It's by giving. It's by properly tithing and giving of the best and of the fruits to God. I said this in Sunday school, and we'll say it now during the service. I passed out the contribution statements for last year. If you haven't got yours, please see me. I have several still in my office. But I do this myself as self-examination to see where I'm at in giving to the Lord. And am I truly giving God my best and my first fruits? This is not saying you're wicked if you're not. It just gives you an idea where you're at. Take what you've given to the Lord this last year, times it by 10, and you should be at least what you made this last year. That's a good indication where you're at in your giving to God. Where are you giving? Your first fruits. You have to give God the best. So if you gave God $6,000 last year, times 10, or you should, or times 100 actually, or whatever, I can't think right now, times 10% is what I meant. By 10%, you should have made around $60,000 last year. If you gave $10,000, you should be around $100,000. Now, if you only make $80,000 and you gave $100,000, praise God. And you have to look and you have to see. But you have to see where you're at. But if you made $70,000 and you only gave $20,000, it's not saying you're wicked or terrible, but it's saying, God, with your help, I need to get on track and give you what is supposed to be given to you. Because God wants the first fruits. And see, I can't worship God in giving if I'm not giving God what I'm supposed to give God. If I'm not giving with the right attitude of gratitude, if I'm not saying, Lord, I want to give you the very best. But also, most churches, and our church does, why we're taking the offering, there's music playing of some sort. Do you know the offering is not a time to catch up on other activities? It's a form of worship by giving, but also allowing God to prepare your heart. Or if it's after the preaching, it's to reflect upon what you've heard. And it's to focus you what? On God. Love and adoration for Him. I don't comprehend the concept in our world today, and not just here, it's in churches all around, that during offering, that's when everyone goes to use the bathroom. During offering, that's when everyone gets up and does something else. During offering, that's when everyone talks. During offering, wait, this is a form of worship. Now understand, if you have to use the restroom, yes, get up and use the restroom. I don't want to clean anything off the floor, okay? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is our focus ought to be on worship. Our focus ought to be on lifting up the name of God and on Him. Love and adoration for Him. We must come with obedience. Verse 2 says they came and they gave the first fruits. It's obedience. Do you know when we come to worship, we're being obedient to God? When you have a spirit of worship each and every day of your lives, it is obedience to Him. We ought to be obedient to God. They gave the first fruits because that's what they were supposed to do, and they were being obedient to God. Do I always understand everything? No. But you know, by faith, I have to believe what God's word says, and by obedience, I have to do what God's word says. Do I understand how everything's going to work out if I give the first fruits? I want you to think for a moment. What is their thoughts? Because, you know, they were people just like you and I. And they weren't super Christians, all right? You say, well, we think they are. Well, see how Moses acted. See how some of Abraham, see how some of them acted. They acted just like you and I would do things, all right? But what were they told to do? Give of the first fruits. What if you were told to give of your first fruits, and we are. But what if you're told if you give of your first fruits and your best? All right? You go and you bought all your groceries. And you're supposed to give of your first fruits of your groceries. And that means the best. So you have to give up your steak, Rex. Sherry, you got to give up your crab legs. All right? Tina, you got to give up that Wonder Bread. And you have to give up all those things. You see, I remember those things. Can you believe that? And you have to give up all those things. And you get to use what's left of your groceries for the week. Well, some of us say, well, there's no way I would ever give that up. I wouldn't be able to make it. I wouldn't be able to feed my kids. I wouldn't be able to live the way I want to live. I wouldn't be able to do that. But when you do that, what happens? God takes care of it. And you have things you never thought you were going to have. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. When you're obedient, how many have been in a place where you faithfully gave of your first fruits, even though you didn't, you don't raise your hand, just think about it. You didn't really have it, the way we put it, have it to give, but you gave it because you know that's what you're supposed to do and be obedient, and you never went without. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. There's many people in this room that could give testimony to that. Because what? Obedience. Giving of the first fruits. Giving what God expects. It's having that attitude of gratitude, saying, God, this is yours. I'm not going to keep it because of what you've done for me and because of all those things. Lord, I'm giving it to you. Do you know there's a lot of people that don't worship God in giving? And they're missing the blessings of God. Do you know some of the people that struggle the most in life are those that have not given to God? And I'm not talking just finances. I'm talking worship, period. But finances is an easy indication, an easy look in our lives. But we're missing God's blessing. We're not worshiping God the way we should. But I also want you to see as we look at this, it says that he was to set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. Because of what God took him from, because of what God gave him, how they ought to approach God and what they ought to do brings them to the place of worship, brings them to the place of adoration. You see, we see their attitude, we see their appreciation, but we also see their adoration. What were they to do? They were to bring, it to the priest, the baskets, the fruit. They would make a sacrifice, they would make an altar before God. They were to come before God. Think about all God's done for you. Think about what God's taken you from. Think about what God has given you, what God will give you. Think about how we ought to approach God and our attitude and all that. But let's come to the place of actual adoration. The place of actual worship. The place where we are coming before God. Before the Lord. Set it before Him. You see, my worship and my adoration is to be set before the Lord. It's not to be set before man. I understand if I'm worshiping, I'm going to have emotions. It's going to come. I understand there's times we can shout. It's okay. It's times that you're going to cry. It's okay. There's times that God's going to be working and things are going to be happening. You're going to have the adoration. You're going to be worshiping God. There's times you're going to want to jump and shout. That's all right. But that comes from worship. jumping and shouting does not produce worship. Worship produces emotions. Emotions does not produce true worship. As I give of the first fruits and adoration, I come before Him and before Him. I'm not doing it so man can see me. I don't make a decision at the altar so man can see me. I make a decision at the altar so I can worship God and get right with God. I don't kneel at my seat so people can see me. I kneel at my seat so I have time to get right with God and worship God. I don't pray a certain way so man can see me and think I'm great in my prayers. I'm praying because I'm worshiping God and I have adoration for God. I give not so man can see me give. I give because I'm worshiping God and I'm focused upon God. I'm doing all this, and as I go before Him and I'm giving to Him and the sacrifice, wait a second, it's not really a sacrifice. Now, we call it a sacrifice, but God is the one that's given me everything I have. And so if I'm giving the first fruits, as they were giving all the first fruits in the basket, and they were giving it to the Lord, they were just giving back to God what was God's anyways. They're just giving back to God what God gave them. What God gave them is to be a steward of. It was already God's. And that's what they were giving back. I sacrificed for God this week. I went to church every service. You didn't worship God, though. I sacrificed to God. I could have had 6 more Dutch brothers this week, but I gave in the offering plate. But you didn't worship God. And we can give all these examples. We want to give. And we can look at this and we can see this. But the whole idea is this. It's not a sacrifice. What it is I'm taking what God has given me and I'm giving it back to Him because I love Him and adore Him. That's why if I truly worship God and I adore God and I love God, it's not a sacrifice for me to give Him my time. It's my joy. It's my privilege to be able to serve God and live for God because I'm worshiping God. I'm adoring God. I'm focused upon God. It's not a sacrifice. If I'm truly worshiping God, and I'm adoring Him, and I'm setting it before Him, and I'm giving to Him what is His. It shouldn't be a struggle for me to do the things that I'm supposed to do in obedience. Because He's all that matters. He's all that has my attention. He's all that I'm focused upon in my life. And they set it before Him unto the Lord. And they gave it to God. You know what needs to happen in some of our lives as believers if we're going to truly worship God? We got to stop holding on to ourselves. I'm talking about those that are saved. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Those that put your faith and trust in Him. We got to stop holding on to ourselves. And we need to give ourselves truly to God. Because when God truly has control of us, that's when we truly worship and adore Him. I'm not adoring Him, I'm not worshiping Him the way I should because God doesn't have me. Oh, it's a sacrifice. If I gave my whole self to God, preacher, I would have to go without. I wouldn't be able to do this and I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to go here. I wouldn't be... Wait a second. Worship is say, God, here's all of me. And I give you all of me, God. Because I want focus upon you and you alone. And I'm going to worship you and adore you. Because God, you're the only thing that matters in my life. Nothing else truly matters. That's worship. That's worship. And I believe if we as believers would get to a place where every one of us are truly worshiping God, you would see things explode. You would see great things happen. You would see the blessings of God. You would see lives changed, souls saved. We would see all these things start taking place if we truly learn to worship God. It would change our services. It would change our homes. It would change everything if we learn to truly worship God. What were they told to do? They were told to remember. They were told to be thankful. And they were told to give it to the Lord. Let us remember. Let us be thankful. And let us truly give it unto the Lord. And let us truly worship the Lord, both in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would just use this message that we looked at in the book of Deuteronomy to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us, even during this invitation time, to worship you. During this time, to be focused on you. Not focus on anything else, but to focus on you during this time. And Lord, if you work in our hearts, Lord, help each of us to make a decision just to take care of it with you this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Pianist is going to start to play as you stand. The heads bowed, eyes closed. No one leave. No one move.